Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. His program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, once again, we're so glad to be with you, and Brother Al Davis is here to work together with us on this program, and we're glad that today we can rejoice because Jesus is alive. He has given us so many blessings. When he died, he forgave our sins, made it possible to, he paid for all of our sins so that he can forgive them, and we repent and put our faith in him and receive him as Lord and Savior of our life. And we can do that and simply recognize him by saying, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my God, my Savior, and I'm willing to obey you. And at that moment, why his blood, the Bible says, will cover our sins, and we become God's, part of God's forever family. And he said, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. When we do that, we can thank the Lord. Jesus says, I've never lost any of them. We can depend on him to keep us and take care of us. But he promised also in four different Gospels that he would give us his words. And the Bible says, thy word have I hid my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And so we're standing for the word of God. We do not believe in deism. We approach that God simply gave the word and forgot it and left it to man to give it to us. But he has given it to us in the authorized King James Bible. And that's what our program is about. But Brother Al has something to say first of all, and thank him. He is pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in, what's the name
Richfield.
Of the town? Richfield, Ohio. It's outside of Cleveland or between Cleveland and Akron. And he has services there. And so I'm going to let him talk now, and he has something to tell us.
All right. Yeah, we're located midway between Akron and Cleveland in northern Summit County. We actually meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located there right by the Ohio Turnpike and Interstate 77, right where they crossed. In fact, we can look out the windows from our meeting room, and we can see the ticket booths for the Turnpike. So we're that close. But, yeah, and then, of course, host a program live with Pastor Al every Friday afternoon from 1:30 until 2 o'clock. And then every Sunday night from 11 o'clock until midnight, right here on AM 1220, the Word. And, of course, sitting in here with Bruce Musselman, helping out with the program, he's got a website I can direct you to as well, whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And if you go there, you can find out a little bit more about Bruce Musselman. You can also listen to past programs, and you can find links to some of the many references and resources that Bruce mentions from time to time, and just a variety of things there. You can even click on Bruce singing on that website. So that's all there at whereisgodsword.com. And Bruce wanted me to just mention something about some of the things that are happening in the world today in regards to Bible prophecy. And if you think about it, there's several passages in the New Testament where it's prophesied that Christians, that believers would be persecuted, that they would be hated. And those that follow Christ in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Of course, these are things also taking place during the tribulation, and right now we're seeing the foreshadowing of events that will take place during the tribulation. Again, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 9, he said, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And, of course, Mark and Luke also repeat these prophecies. Now, think about this. If during the tribulation, which I believe is probably close at hand, because I think the Lord is coming soon, and if the Lord indeed is coming soon, then the planning, the groundwork, I guess, for the things that are going to happen during the tribulation have to be set right now. are being started right now. And with that in mind, we see that Christians are becoming, well, maybe I should say have become, the number one group in America that it's okay to discriminate against, that it's okay to make fun of, that it's okay to insult, and it's okay to exclude. Now, thankfully, we had a victory in the Masterpiece case, or cake shop case, where a Christian baker in Colorado was sued because though he had made cakes for these for homosexuals in the past, for birthdays, for other, you know, just different things, and never had any problem serving them, when he was asked to create a special wedding cake for a homosexual couple, which, if I remember the case correctly, actually came targeting his shop, you know, as opposed to other shops that would have gladly had helped make the cake. And he said, no, I can't do it. It goes against my Christian beliefs. And so he was vilified by the Colorado Civil Rights Commission. And they made remarks, disparaging remarks about him, about his religion, and all of this. I'm not going into all the details of the case, but thankfully the Supreme Court heard the case, and as the media, the left-wing media said, in a narrow 7-2 decision, I don't know how 7-2 is narrow, I guess it's not unanimous. So in a narrow 7-2 decision, they upheld the cake baker, the Christian cake baker, and his right to not be forced to create a cake. This is more than just baking a birthday cake or a cake for the, you know, for a family reunion. This is a work of art that he has to put effort and expression into. And so he did not want to be a part of condoning the same-sex marriage, which he believes is not biblical. And as a consequence, he was vilified. And many people around the country joined in vilifying him. He had death threats and all kinds of things. And you see these things happening. That's interesting. The same Colorado Civil Rights Commission that vilified him for not making a cake for a homosexual couple was more than willing to look the other way and to excuse homosexual bakers for not making special cakes for Christian functions. Isn't that interesting? And I was looking at the news, and we see that George Soros has just been, he has just basically been singled out in a British member of parliament. He accuses George Soros of trying to break down the fundamental values of Western societies and to remove Christian values from Europe. And this is a man who's crusading against everything Christian. And so we see some of the people that he's helped fund making these comments, like what we saw made against this Christian baker. And even the United States Civil Rights Commission has made statements to the effect that Christian religious liberty should not override homosexual rights, and yet our Christian liberties, our religious freedoms, are enshrined in the Constitution in the First Amendment. And so we see the world being set up for this time when they would hate Christians. And there's a case in Myanmar, it says, where they're targeting the Christians there. Some of the Hindu population in parts of India targeting the Christians there. And then, of course, we know the stories that have come out of the Middle East of the Islamists targeting Christians, killing them, destroying their churches and their homes, and torturing and all these people, and taking captive the women and selling them into slavery. And the world certainly is being set up, just like Jesus said, that there would come a day when the world would hate Christians and betray us. And we're seeing the setup for that right now, aren't we?
Sure looks like it. And you know, in America, we have more than one religion. That is humanism. Humanism, form of atheism, in saying man, basically, there's no God except man. Man is his own God. He makes up the rules. But humanism has demonstrated it's very intolerant because, for instance, some of the things that they promote, sodomy and abortion and all this stuff, and if you don't go along with it. They want to force you to do it, and humanist judges will attempt to put you in jail, just as if, just like you were mentioning right there. And so it's a constant conflict now between humanism and humanists. Many times are in denominations, people that really believe that way, that go under the name of Christian. But a Christian, his authority is Jesus Christ through the Bible. And the Bible becomes his authority, and he takes it for the plain sense. Literally means you take it for the plain sense, you believe what it says.
Right, the old expression, if the plain sense makes common sense, seek no other sense.
That's true.
Yes.
Well, thank you for that report. And I think we have an interesting program today. I'm talking about the relationship of Jewish people in Christianity. And so I want to give this scripture verse first of all, and then we'll get into it. It says, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, verse 19, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. There will be a universal respect for the Lord Jesus Christ worldwide. And you see, this is happening today, although not everybody is. But, I mean, there's faith in Jesus in every country in the world. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. So the Bible teaches that right before Christ comes back, of course, the armies of the world will come against Israel. And at that time, it says the Redeemer shall come to Zion. Jerusalem is built on Mount Zion, by the way. And unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. So he's going to come to those that turn from sin, saith the Lord. As for me, and God is speaking, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, from, saith the Lord, from this, from henceforth and forever. So, once again, God is teaching that he would preserve his words. Now, we have in America today people, they profess to believe in Christ and Christianity, but they deny scripture verses that are all through the Bible. Right here, God said that the words would last forever. He says, saith the Lord, from henceforth forever, the words will continue forever, according to that verse. Now, the words were given here to Isaiah, and these words would continue on forever. So when they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, they found some in Isaiah A and B, and they found, made thousands of comparisons with the Hebrew Masoretic text that we have today, although some parts of it have been changed recently, but the one that is traditional, one that has come down to us, and it lines up what they found thousands of years ago in the Dead Sea Scrolls. And that's so important to understand. You know, somebody just called, and I think we'll give you a chance to talk, okay? Okay, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Am I in the air?
Yes, you are.
Oh, okay. Yes, I had a quick question. Last week, you had talked about the lordship of Jesus, and you made a statement that all the disciples of Jesus had acknowledged Jesus as Lord except Judas.
That's true. If you read the New Testament, you never read Judas calling Jesus Lord.
Okay, well, I was wondering where that, what references you had to prove that. That's what I, that was my question.
Just read it for yourself. You never read Judas calling Jesus Lord. I'm not going to, I don't have any specific references, but they all called him Lord, and Judas never did. Well, you know, there's an argument there. They'll say, well, Judas was saved and he lost his salvation. Well, I understand that salvation, you confess Jesus as your Lord. Judas never did. I mean, let's say this, it's never recorded that he did, but it's recorded other apostles did.
Well, I know Thomas was recorded, and probably Peter, but, I mean, there's, you know, like a number of other disciples where I don't see where they acknowledge.
When they're identifying, they just say Lord. That's how they identified him if you read the New Testament. They just said Lord. They didn't call him Jesus even. They just called him Lord. That's whenever they would talk to him, that's what they'd say, Lord. Yes.
There's one verse in John chapter 14, verse 22, where it says, Jesus, or Judas saith unto him, and then it says, after a comma, not Iscariot. And then this Judas calls him Lord. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? So there's a careful note in there to make sure that you understand this isn't Judas Iscariot calling them. So in regards to references, because Judas is never recorded as calling Jesus Lord, then there wouldn't be any references because it's not there. Now,
yeah, well, I know this Judas here in 22 is probably a surname for one of the other disciples.
Yeah. Yeah, in John 14:22. Yeah, that's why it identifies, just like, you know, you can have, you know, there's King Herod, there's Herod the Great, and Herod the Tetrarch, and, you know, a variety, Herod Antipat, or what is Antipat, I think. There's a difference, Herods, you know, so they're just like there's people today, you know, David this, David that, and so forth and so on.
See, that's why I have Al here. That was excellent. I never even thought about that, but that's great.
Well, they would say not Iscariot to, you know, differentiate between Judas, but
so that would distinguish.
We're talking about Judas Iscariot.
Yeah, that would distinguish that Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Christ, is not recorded as saying, calling him Lord. And obviously, it doesn't record the words of every one of the 12 disciples saying that. You know, or calling Jesus Lord. There's only specific ones that it did, but the point that Bruce was making is that there's no record that Judas specifically, Judas Iscariot, never called him Lord.
Yeah, that's a very important thing. See, even today, you know, sometimes there's confusion there to believe on Jesus. People believe about him. They believe he died and rose from the dead, and I don't believe that saves you. Paul preached repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, and that means that you have trusted him to be the controller of your life, the Lord of your life. And Jesus refers to him being your Savior, that when it died, paid for your sins and will get you to heaven as a free gift. And Christ refers to his kingly title, see. So, but I mean, it's just believing intellectually that it happened isn't the thing. Another thing, Thomas says, my Lord and my God. So you must receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord. I think people in those days, they understood that because once a year they had to go and put incense on a fire and say, Caesar is Lord. And then they get a license, you know, that said that they had said that. And if the Christians would not say that, and sometimes they were beaten to death on the spot for that. But it's a good thing you brought that up. But I'll make the point today. Thomas saith unto him, my Lord and my God. And the dying thief said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Paul says, Lord, what will thou have me to do? That defines Lord. What will thou have me to do? You're the boss, you know. And so it's good you brought that up, though.
Well, Thomas specifically did call Jesus Lord. But like, for example, Andrew is quoted as saying certain things in the scripture, but I see no evidence where he called Jesus Lord.
Well, you know, the Bible records different things that happened, and he may not record everything that went on, you know, but I think it makes a point of that. Al has something to say. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just was looking real quick here, and specifically James, John, Peter, and Thomas are named disciples that called him specifically Lord. And then the other Judas that we talked about there in previously. So that's several of them. And I think what Bruce was mentioning there, even though the other disciples may not have been recorded as calling him Lord, the argument with them is not so much, you know, whether or not they were ever a follower of Christ like we have with Judas, because Judas betrayed him. And so, you know, Judas, who's given as saying a number of things, unlike some of the disciples, which you hardly, like Simon Zelotes, how much did he really say in the Bible? You know, you don't really read much about him. But the other disciples aren't as important in regards to whether or not they called him Lord as Judas is.
We're going to have to go on, but I think it's so important. It's people may go forward, shake the preacher's hand, and even say a prayer, but it's calling them Lord from the heart. And the Bible says, no man calls Jesus Lord except the Spirit of God draw him to that position. But I have some things I want to talk about today, and I want to talk about the we talk about the Bible all the time, and so that's what the subject is. Oh, my lens, we're almost done here. It says, as for me, this is my covenant with them, that is the words that God gave and will continue. And so the King James is based on the Hebrew Masoretic text. And Jesus criticized the Pharisees for perverting the scriptures, but never for changing the scriptures. And here's the problem today. They say, well, we can't understand the King James. And then they've given us a different text. That's the thing. It's not just they'll talk like it's the Greek text, but I mean, there's all kinds of different Greek and Hebrew texts that are corrupt. And so that's why we're talking about that on the program. You know, I wanted to talk about Christian-Jewish relations. Now, recently, there's a lot of talking about the Christian Zionists, which is totally legitimate. Preacher came out and he was studying the Bible, and he's realizing God said he's going to bring the Jews back. And so he began to speak to the Jewish movement, even Theodor Herzl, when he was talking about the Jews moving to Africa, and he was talking about them going back to Israel. And so even Netanyahu referred to this. And so he was influential in their thinking, even in going back to Israel. Now, Jesus, when he died on the cross, before he even died on Palm Sunday, a great number of Jews came out and recognized him as the Messiah in Jerusalem. Great throngs of Jews came out. But the Jews that rejected him and were in power and authority, and particularly the sect of the Sadducees, and they controlled the temple worship in Jerusalem, and they were connected with the Romans. And they said, well, the Romans will take away our position, you know, if he gets power. And so when it was brought up by Pilate, who do you accept here? Do you accept Jesus as your king, or and Caesar? And they said, we want Caesar. Well, they were collaborators. These people were collaborators with the Roman government, these leaders in Israel. And it wasn't a lot of Jewish people. In fact, very shortly after Jesus had died and risen from the dead, the church at Jerusalem, which was the basis of Bible-believing Christians, or we would say the Baptist churches, began then by Christ in Jerusalem. The membership was certainly at least 50,000 people almost immediately, and they were influenced by John the Baptist and many others. And then, many of the Pharisees also joined, but a group of the leaders, they went to, under Akiva, they started what is modern Judaism, and they changed it altogether because the law of Moses said, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins, and they had to go up to the temple and offer a sacrifice where God put his name in the temple. But God, when Jesus died, he was the eternal sacrifice that God made, and so the temple was destroyed, and so Jesus Christ you don't go to the temple anymore to make your sacrifice. You go to Jesus. He's the one where God put his name. And Jesus died on the cross, and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So there's a great multitude of Jews, a great number that became believers in Jesus at that time. But the Jews that had collaborated with the Romans were the ones, they turned many in Israel against Jesus, and they set up their synagogue and they set up their seminary outside of Jerusalem with the help of the Romans. And they continued on. They began to persecute Christians at that time. And so there was a great persecution at that time, by particularly Jewish Christians. But I can't go on because our time is up. Maybe we'll finish the history of this and try to take it down to the present day. But I see that many Jewish people today are coming to look at this whole situation differently. And there is, of course, always a great Jewish community that existed down through the ages that were believers in Jesus. the Messiah, because the Old Testament taught this all the way through the Old Testament and prophecies in the Old Testament. And of course, Jesus came the first time, died on the cross, rose from the dead, and he will come back. But salvation is in him.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.